He knew that Jerusalem was important to God. Coming to you from Riverside, California, one-time home of race car driving great Dan Gurney and one of the great blues singers Etta James, and birthplace of future baseball Hall of Famer Dusty Baker, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. In podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster Steve Webb. This is The Daily Show, where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. And today's History Tuesday, and we'll begin the book of Nehemiah. We'll read chapters 1 through 4. Hey, if you didn't hear yesterday's show, then you missed the big announcement. You might want to go back and listen to it. And for those of you who did hear it, please do send that email to me that I asked you about. It is really important that I hear from every single LifeSpring family member. And if you've listened to the show more than once, you are a member of the LifeSpring family. So please take just a moment and tell me your thoughts. Send that email to steve@lifespringmedia.com and put the next step in your subject line. I'm calling today's episode, A Man of Action. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E335. Are you ready? Let's get started. Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.' I was cupbearer to the king." Nehemiah chapter 2. And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, so the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate, and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, "If it please the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go." And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. Then I came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem, and there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out by night by the valley gate in the direction of the Dragon's Well and on the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and its gates which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib the high priest set to work with his fellow priests and built the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, then dedicated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The people of Jericho built next to them, and Zachar, Imri's son, built next to them. The children of Hasaneah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, bolts, and bars. Next to them, Merimoth, Uriah's son, and Hakoz's grandson made repairs. Meshulam, Berechiah's son, and Meshezabel's grandson made repairs next to them, and Zadok, Baanah's son, made repairs next to them. Next to them, the people from Tekoa made repairs, but their officials wouldn't help with the work of their supervisors. Jehoiada, Paseah's son, and Meshulam, Besidiah's son, repaired the Mishnah gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, bolts, and bars. Next to them, repairs were made by Melatiah the Gibeonite, Jadon the Moronathite, and the people of Gibeon and of Mizpah, who were ruled by the governor of the province beyond the river. Uzziel, Harhaiah's son, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs next to them, and Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs next to him. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, Hur's son, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jedaiah, Harumaph's son, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattush, Hashabniah's son, made repairs next to him. Malchijah, Haram's son, and Hashab, Pahath-Moab's son, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to them, Shalom, Halohesh's son, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs along with his daughters. Hanan and the people of Zenoah repaired the valley gate. They built it and set up its doors, bolts, and bars. They also repaired 1,500 feet of the wall as far as the dung gate. Malchiah, Rechab's son, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakarem, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set up its doors, bolts, and bars. And Shalom, Kalhoza's son, ruler of the Mizpah district, repaired the spring gate. He rebuilt and covered it and set up its doors, bolts, and bars. He also built the wall of the Pool of Shelah of the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from David's city. After him, Nehemiah, Azbuk's son, ruler of half the Beth-Zur district, repaired from the point opposite David's tombs as far as the artificial pool and the warrior's house. After him, the Levites made repairs, Rehum, Bani's son, and next to him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, made repairs for his district. After him, their relatives made repairs, Binui, Henadad's son, ruler of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, Jeshua's son, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section opposite the ascent to the armory of the angle. After him, Barak, Zabai's son, thoroughly repaired another section from the angle to the door of the house of the high priest Eliashib. After him, Meremoth, Uriah's son, and Hakoz's grandson, repaired another section from the door to the back of Eliashib's house. After him, the priests from the surrounding area made repairs. After them, Benjamin and Hashab made repairs opposite their house. After them, Azariah, Maaseiah's son, and Ananiah's grandson repaired beside his house. After him, Binui, Henadad's son, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the angle and to the corner. Palal, Uzai's son, repaired from the point opposite the angle and the tower projecting from the upper house of the king at the court of the guard. After him, Pedaiah, Parosh's son, and the temple servants living on Ophel made repairs up to the point opposite the water gate to the east and the projecting tower. After them, the people of Tekoa repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. From the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, Immer's son, made repairs opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, Shechaniah's son, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. After him, Hananiah, Shelemiah's son, and Hanan, Zaleph's sixth son, repaired another section. After them, Meshulam, Berechiah's son, made repairs opposite his own room. After him, Malchiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and the merchants opposite the parade gate and as far as the upper room at the corner. And between the upper room of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. Nehemiah chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he became angry and raged. He mocked the Jews, saying in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the piles of rubble, even though they are burned?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, added, "If even a fox climbs on whatever they build, their wall of stones will crumble. Listen, God, we are despised. Turn their insults to us back on their heads and make them like plunder in a captive land. Don't forgive their iniquity or blot out their sins from your sight. They have thrown insults at the builders." We continued to build the wall. All of it was joined together, and it reached half of its intended height because the people were eager to work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the work on the walls was progressing and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to create a disturbance in it. So we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. But in Judah it was said, "The carrier's strength is failing, for there is too much rubble. We are unable to rebuild the wall." Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, "Before they know or see anything, we can be in their midst and start to kill them. We'll stop the work." Now the Jews who were living near them came and said to us again and again, "You must return to us." So I took up a position in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall in an open area. Then I stationed the people by families, and they had their swords, spears, and bows. After reviewing this, I stood up and said to the officials, the officers, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember that the Lord is great and awesome. Fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Then our enemies heard that we had found out and that God had spoiled their plans. So we all returned to doing our own work on the wall. But from that day on, only half of my workers continued in the construction, while the other half held the spears, shields, bows, and body armor. Meanwhile, the leaders positioned themselves behind the whole house of Judah, who were building the wall. The carriers did their work with a load in one hand and a weapon in the other. The builders built with swords fastened in their belts, and the trumpeters stayed by my side. Then I said to the officials, the officers, and the rest of the people, "The work is very spread out, and we are far apart from each other along the wall. When you hear the trumpet sound, come and gather where we are. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until dusk. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant spend the night in Jerusalem so that we can guard during the night and work during the day. Neither I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor my bodyguards took off our clothes, even when they sent for water. See if you agree with this statement. What matters to God should matter to us. When the book of Nehemiah was written, about 1,000 years had passed since God had used Moses to lead the people out of their Egyptian captivity. And of course, a lot happened in the ensuing years. There had been the time of the judges, but then the people begged to have a king, like the surrounding lands had, so God appointed Saul as their first king. To say the least, he turned out to be a disappointment, just as God had warned the people that he would be. Then there was David, who certainly had a share of failures, but God called him a man after his own heart. After David was his son Solomon, who built a temple for the people to have a place to worship God, and then a long succession of David's descendants following Solomon, some of whom were godly men, some of whom were evil men who did not follow God. And eventually, because the people had turned their back on God to worship false gods, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob allowed Jerusalem to be conquered by Babylon, and the temple was completely destroyed, as was most of the city and its walls. The people of Jerusalem and the surrounding area were taken captive to Babylon, where they remained for 70 years. Well, after these 70 years, the people were given the chance to go home, but most had never been to Jerusalem. Babylon was their home, and only a small number of them chose to go to their homeland, about 50,000 out of 2 or 3 million. We read in the book of Ezra how they rebuilt the temple. And here, Nehemiah wrote his book about 15 years after the period spoken of by Ezra. So, if we do the math, it had been nearly 100 years since the return to the Promised Land by those who had been captive in Babylon. And the actual destruction of Jerusalem had taken place about 150 years earlier. But here, in Nehemiah's time, the walls of Jerusalem still had not been rebuilt. Well, Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He lived in the capital city of the Persians, Shushan, in what is now Iran. But he loved God, and he knew that Jerusalem was important to God. When he learned that Jerusalem's walls had not been rebuilt and that the people were struggling, Nehemiah was heartbroken. And he didn't just feel bad about the situation, he did what he could do. He fasted and he prayed. And when he prayed, he came with an attitude of humility. He confessed the sins of himself, his family, and the people, and he reminded God of his promise that if his people would return to him, he would restore them. And one more thing, he asked God to bless him, that he might have favor with the king because he was the king's cupbearer, so he had access to the king. Well, the bottom line is that Nehemiah was not satisfied just to feel bad about the situation in Jerusalem. No. He humbly wanted to be used by God to do something about it. What a marvelous example for us, beloved. Shouldn't we have hearts that are tender to what God cares about? We need to be willing for God to move us to action, as Nehemiah was. God found in him someone who was deeply moved and altogether willing to do what was necessary. Oh, beloved, that we would be that kind of people. Look around you. Chances are very good that if you ask, God will show you where he can use you to make a difference. What are your thoughts? Have a comment? Let me know. Go to the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E335 and put your thoughts in there. Tomorrow is Psalms Wednesday, and we're going to read chapters 140 through 142.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
There are some people to thank today. Andy Baker came in today with a second row of Ducks donation of 22.22 through Zelle. That's 2 Mondays in a row. And Andy, you put a note on the donation today to see the email? Well, I looked high and low for it and I couldn't find it. So please resend it. And if you'd be so kind, put donation in the subject line. And God bless you. Thank you so much.
Boostergram.
And then a couple of Boostergrams came in this morning via the Fountain app from a guy who is practically in my backyard. Yucaipa is about 20 miles from the LifeSpring Media Studios, as the crow flies, and last I heard, that's where Wayne Henderson lives. Wayne has been a LifeSpring family member almost from day one, and he's created several podcasts of his own, including perhaps his most popular one, the Packers Fan Podcast. Plus, like me, he does voiceover work. His website is mediavoiceovers.com if you're interested, and if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, check out PackersFanPodcast.com. So this morning, Wayne sent in two boostergrams, both of them a short row of ducks, 222. On the first one, he said, "Keep up the great work, Steve. Blessings." And the second one says, "Steve, I just heard your big announcement. Thanks again for everything." So I think he sent the first one at the beginning of the episode yesterday before he heard the announcement. And then he sent the second one. Wayne, thank you for everything. I appreciate your friendship over the years, and I thank you for the rows of ducks. God bless you, brother. And then Sir Jeremy of the Crooked Eye sent in two 1,000 sat boosts using the Breeze app. He didn't send a note with either one of his boosts, but I did want to say thank you, Sir Jeremy. God bless you. And then this came in. At Walnut Ridge sent in a baller boost of 33,333 sats through the Fountain app. And he said, "Thanks for your courage. I appreciate your daily episodes." Well, thank you, Walnut Ridge. I appreciate your boostergram, and thank you for your courage. God bless you. Really, thanks to everyone who sent in donations and boostergrams today. They are very much appreciated, and I pray that God's blessing will be on each one of you. Thank you so very much. I got an email from Sean of San Pedro asking if I was going to keep the website up after the end of Season 12. And I figured that since he asked, perhaps others are wondering about the same thing. The answer is, I have no plans to take LifespringMedia.com offline. At this point, of course, I'm not even sure if I'm through with podcasting. As I said in my announcement yesterday, that really is up to the response I get from the LifeSpring family in your emails. You, listening right now, will have an enormous influence on that. I have asked every individual who listens to the show to weigh in on what they would like for me to do. If there's a podcast that you'd like me to create, if you have an idea for a show, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com and let me know. As I said yesterday, I would be willing and happy to continue podcasting, but I just can't do a daily show after this season of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. But if there is something that you'd like to hear me do, let me know. And listen, I need to hear, like I said, from every one of you. I'm really emphasizing this because there's so many times where people hear these things and they say, "Yeah, I'll get around to it," and then they never do. Or they think, "Well, I'm just one voice. I don't really matter." Really, your voice honestly, truly does matter. And even if you don't have an idea for a show and just say, "Steve, you've had a good run, but go ahead and turn off the mic," or, "Steve, I don't have a specific idea, but I just don't want you to quit podcasting," or whatever. Your voice matters. I need to know how much interest there is or isn't. If the interest isn't there, if I don't hear from you, then I'll just think, okay, well, it's okay. It's time to hang it up. I am going to be taking your email all month long, but please don't wait until the end of the month. I don't want to have to be sifting through hundreds and hundreds or dozens or hundreds of thousands or whatever. I don't want to do that. So please send it in while you're thinking about it, like right now. And please, in your subject line, put "the next step," so it doesn't get put into my spam folder. Now back to whether or not LifeSpring Media will be taken down. If the interest isn't there for me to do another show, I will watch what kind of activity I see at LifespringMedia.com in terms of downloads. So I've got the stats, of course. And if I see that people are still downloading the shows, I'll keep the website up. But if it becomes a ghost town, I'll have to take it down. And speaking of that, having a website up, even when I'm not producing content, is going to be an expense. Security software has to be maintained so that I can keep the constant barrage of hackers out. And yeah, it's a WordPress website, so hackers are pounding on it all the time. They just do. They send bots out. And if you don't keep your security software up to date, they'll get in and then cause havoc. And I don't want that. So there's that expense. Backup software licenses have to be maintained, as do plugins and themes. And hosting for the website itself is an annual renewal, and there are monthly hosting fees for the nearly 3,000 podcast episodes at LifespringMedia.com, not just for the hosting, but then for the download, for the bandwidth. All those things have charges. Just maintaining the website will be a constant part-time job and a constant financial drain. I'm telling you all this just to say that donations will always be welcome. And as long as LifespringMedia.com sees traffic, I do hope to keep it going. So I hope that answers your question. We're going to forego the on this date in church history, and I don't have any prayer requests today, so let's just have some prayer and we'll get out of here. Our Heavenly Father, Nehemiah saw that Jerusalem's wall was something you cared about, and he asked you to help him build it. Father, if there is something in our sphere of influence, I pray that you would make us aware of it, and then, Lord, we'll seek your guidance in addressing the need. Make us like Nehemiah, Lord, for your glory. I pray, God, that you would bless the family, and as I seek your will about whether to continue podcasting, if there's something you want me to do, I ask you to make it clear as day. Speak to my heart and the hearts of the LifeSpring family, and I pray that the emails will come in and be a firm confirmation of what you want for LifeSpring Media and for me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and fill out the form there. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together here on the show. prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comment on the show, please, at lifespringmedia.com/S12E335. Send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And please, if you're anything like me, you need to be reminded like over and over. So please remember to give some thought and prayer to the question of what you'd like to see me do this season and use the subject line, The Next Step. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise. Thanks to those of you who are streaming sats and sending boostograms and boosting. Thanks specifically to Wayne Henderson, Sir Jeremy of the Crooked Eye, and Walnut Ridge for the boostograms, and Andy Baker for his donation. God bless you guys. And thank you, beloved, for inviting me into your life today. It's an honor, and it's a privilege, and it's a joy. If you're thankful for the show, if you're thankful for what the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible has meant in your life this year, please go to lifespringmedia.com/support and send a donation. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
Now available as a digital download.